50. A wound that moves. Modo spat out seawater. He couldn't see Griff, of course, but was further alarmed because, through the door, flames were dancing across wooden furniture and up a set of curtains. How much of New Barcelona was burning. And closer to him, her body looking like a broken doll, was Colette. Before Modo could check to see if she was breathing, his head was driven into the floor.
"You're lucky I saw the light of your craft and recognized your predicament. Yes, lucky," Griff cried.
He smashed Modo's head again.
"Where's the mad captain?"
"She went down with the Ictinio,"
Modo grunted out in pain.
"Good, good, good."
With each exclamation, Griff bashed Modo's head harder.
"She took the Wyvern and all her crew with her."
"You lie. That ship is unsinkable."
"Well, it's at the bottom of the ocean now."
"Liar!"
Griff smashed Modo's head again. With each blow, light sparked in Modo's darkened vision, but he was too tired to lift an arm to defend himself.
"Both ships went down," he said.
This seemed to silence Griff for a few seconds, and in that time Modo stole a glance at Colette. She hadn't stirred.
"Don't bring me bad tidings,"
Griff hissed.
"I'm Invisible Man the First."
Modo felt himself dragged a few feet and then was thrown onto his back. Invisible hands grabbed his throat.
"Take back your lies!"
Modo lifted a hand, but Griff knocked it aside and continued to choke him.
"Your face is growing uglier, Modo. Did you show it to that Colette? No? How she would squeal if she could see it, eh? But don't worry, when I'm done with you, I'll slit her throat. She won't see you again."
Modo tried to speak, but only gurgled.
"You may have sunk the Wyvern," Griff said, "but Miss Hackendott here had a balloon and she'll pick me up. I am Invisible Man the First. She wouldn't leave me. She wouldn't."
He slapped Modo.
"If you could only see my face, you grotesque sot. Tahee! I'm smiling now, I am.
Some clarity returned to Modo's vision. Griff's hands were no longer on his throat.
"French witch! Ah!"
Modo found the strength to raise his head and saw Colette on all fours, one hand swinging a stiletto. Blood was squirting out of thin air onto the floor. It was a wound that moved. It darted here and there. Colette swung once more and stabbed Griff again.
"Ugh!"
Griff shrieked. Two wounds jumped back.
"You can't see me. You can't stab me."
"I did,"
Colette spat out, coughing with each word.
"And now we see you."
Modo got to his feet. His head throbbed and he staggered to one side. He stretched out his arms and threw himself toward the place where the blood was spurting. His arms closed on nothing.
"I'll kill both of you."
The blood suddenly stopped and Modo heard running, splashing footsteps as Griff's voice grew more distant.
"When you sleep, I'll gut you like fish."
Modo helped Colette to her feet. He was so happy to see her alive that he wanted to embrace her. Instead, he asked,
"Where did you get the knife?"
"Always carry a blade. My father taught me that."
"Griff will try to escape from New Barcelona," Modo said. "I wonder where all the Icarians have gone."
"I'm afraid he let us hope they have somehow reached the surface," Colette said. "We must get to the docking bay. The Philomena is the only way out of this place."
They stumbled as quickly as they could through the adjoining room. Flames were burning in the far corner, catching paintings on the wall, chairs, and desks. The Icarian flag was in ashes. Modo could hear Griff shouting from some distant place, but the echoes made it hard to be sure of the direction.
"He's gone batty," Modo said. "He's burning the place down."
They stumbled into the bay and discovered that, thankfully, the Philomena was still there, its hatch open. The room appeared empty.
"No blood on the floor," Colette observed.
A muffled cry drew Modo's attention. Then several more voices could be heard behind a nearby door. Modo and Colette crept closer and knocked on the metal surface.
"Hello?"
Modo said.
"Who's there?"
"Who's out there?"
a young male voice asked.
"Colette Brunette,"
Colette answered.
"And Modo?"
"It's Comrade Garay,"
the young man said.
"Let us out. Is Captain Montoriel with you?"
Modo lifted the lever and the door opened. Comrade Garay was bleeding from a cut above his eye, and his right arm was in a sling. Behind him stood the women and children and old men Modo had seen before.
That thing drove us in here, Garay said. We could not see it, but it broke my arm.
You are safe for the moment, Modo said.
Come out, come out.
Modo explained Captain Monturiel's orders for them to flee, and what had happened to her and Serdar as best he could. The Ikarians stood stoically as they learned about the death of their captain and Serdar, and that many of their fellow citizens had gone down with the Wyvern.
There is no time to explain much more, Colette said urgently,
taking a child's hand and leading the people to the Philomena. All the while, Modo kept his eyes and ears open for any sign of Griff. He and Colette helped the women, children, and elderly into the ship, urging them to press as hard as they could against the sides. Garay was the last aboard, grimacing as he bumped his arm. There was barely room for one more person.
You go, Modo said to Colette. I'm too big. I'll find another way. And let you become the hero of Ikaria? Never.
Modo sighed, exasperated.
Go,
he said to Comrade Garay, not wanting to waste time arguing with Colette. You know how to control this ship. Travel as swiftly as you can to Iceland.
We have sympathizers there, Garay said.
They will resupply us.
Then sail with all haste. If you must surface, do so as far from here as possible. Our enemy may have other ships.
Thank you,
Comrade Garay said.
Thank you both. We will not forget you.
Long live Ikaria,
Modo exclaimed, a lump coming to his throat. Comrade Garay saluted as Modo closed the hatch. The Philomena slowly moved away from the dock and submerged.